about two things, as you know. First of all, you are the first person that I've interviewed who's getting around Dunbar in a wheelchair. So I wonder if you could just give me an idea in your own words how it is to do this, and what cooperation you have from the community, and what it's like negotiating these dangerous roads and all that.
Actually, the nicest thing about the Dunbar area, Vancouver generally, but I know best Dunbar, is that the roads are very safe. The passing traffic sometimes on main streets can be a bit hair-raising, but because the ramping is quirky and some of the sidewalks are narrow, they're tippy, they're bumpy, I almost always travel on the road. And in the years I've been doing that, I've been in a wheelchair since 1993, so almost 8 years. I have once had somebody tell me to get out of the road. And I go up and down Dunbar in the road.
I know.
I go all the side streets in the road. People are very helpful. I have on at least three or four occasions gotten stuck in the chair. And usually within a couple of minutes, a stranger will stop. I've had people stop in their cars as well as pedestrians stop and say, "What can I do?" Occasionally, people wind up calling home. Usually, it's just pushing a button or reorienting the chair. I'm talking about something that might happen once a year, twice a year, so it's not a frequent occurrence. But the only times I've had any real trouble with traffic is two incidents in particular, crossing Dunbar itself at 29th and crossing Blenheim. Fast, probably through traffic. But otherwise, cars stop for me to cross, even if I'm at a place where the side street traffic is supposed to stop. Cars frequently will stop in both directions. People are very civilized.
Well,
that's
good.
That's the getting around. I wish the ramping were better.
Yes, I'm wondering what particular. I mean, we're dealing with engineers here in the Dunbar Residents Association constantly, so you know, if you'd like to describe
now,
it.
Now that I called the city shortly after I started with a scooter in 1991 and then a chair in 1993. But once, that was because I was trying to travel on sidewalks, and the ramping throughout the city is very quirky. It's commonly the case that you can go up a ramp onto the sidewalk at one end of the block and then get to the other end of the block and find that there's no way to get down without going around the corner into the lane or going back to the ramp that you climbed. But I've stopped talking to the city in large part because I prefer to travel on the road. I have more room, it's smoother, and I never have to worry about the ramping. So it's, you know, for those who have to be on the sidewalk, it's problematic, I imagine, but for me, it hasn't been at all.
Okay. Now, what about doing your business? I've seen you in the bank and various places.
Oh, yeah.
You seem to have no trouble doing stuff.
No, people are very nice. I've had some amusing experiences. I travel with my wallet buried in a bag behind me, and I don't always check to make sure it's supposed to be there all the time. Don't always check before I go out. One day I was out and stopped at one of the bakeries up on Dunbar, and when it was my turn, there was a bit of a lineup. The person in front of me ordered and paid. I ordered, and the man behind me asked if he could help. I said, "Yes, please." While they're cutting the bread, could you please get my wallet out? Man dug and dug and dug, and couldn't find my wallet. One of my kids had taken it out take some money and had not bothered to put it back.
Yeah.
So when she came back, he said, "Oh, how much is it? I'll just pay for it." I said, No. I'll just set it aside and I'll come back." And the woman behind the counter said, No. You just take it and pay us next time you're in." It's a place I go into every 2 or 3 weeks, if that.
That's great.
In the end, I wound up taking it, coming home for my wallet, and going straight back up.
Aww.
But there was almost a struggle as to who was going to be out of pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, I had never seen the man before.
Uh-huh.
Nor since.
That's interesting. That is great.
Stongs is wonderful.
Oh.
I don't understand how they can afford to keep so many staff on, but there must be a dozen people there who know me by name.
And oh, great.
It's wonderful, not least because my produce is always selected by the produce people, and they certainly do a better job of picking the best produce than I would do if I did it myself.
That's great.
The bank is nice. I'm not sure whether it's a coincidence or not, but my branch up there, which is the TV branch, is the only one which has a motion-activated door. There are 2 or 3 others which have push-button doors, but I can't operate those.
Oh.
And I was a TD customer before that branch was put in.
Oh.
I don't know how frequently TD branches have motion-activated doors, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was... if my patronage was a factor.
Yeah.
Shoppers has the same thing. Shoppers Drug Mart has motion-activated door, which for most people is nothing special, but for me, it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas when I go to the video store, I wait outside until somebody opens the door for me.
Oh, yeah.
I know the library staff, a number of them.
Oh, great.
And they're great, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, how often do you go out shopping?
I'm out at least 4 or 5 days a week.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just for a few minutes, but... Mm-hmm. During the sports season, I'm out at soccer and baseball games.
Oh, watching your kids?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Tell me about your kids, too, and what they're doing, the names and where they are, and we'll go through that.
Benjamin is 18. He's in grade 12 at St. George's.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Kitchener through grade 7. Started at St. George's in grade 8. And he's done very well at the school, and the school has been perfect for him. I can tell you, not everything shows up in the book.
That's right.
There are lots of reasons why we wouldn't have picked St. George's.
Hmm.
I don't particularly like the fact that it's a boys' school, which I don't think is educationally better, and socially I certainly think it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly like the politics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly like a lot of things about it. But the facilities, the teaching, the athletics, the opportunities are great, and Benjamin's been admitted to Harvard for next fall.
Here, isn't that wonderful?
It's still not clear whether he'll be going there. Because we're waiting to hear from Stanford.
Oh.
And we're also waiting to hear from the financial aid office.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're not in a position to pay a very large percentage of what it costs.
Oof.
But he did not do an awful lot of athletics at the public schools, partly because wasn't required, and he wasn't really motivated. He was required to at St. George's, and he started right away doing rowing, and has shared two national gold medals. He was part of a four rowers with a Cox who won St. George's first national gold medal in any sport. That was 3 years ago.
Oh.
And last year he and a partner in a two-man boat got another national gold medal, which is part of the reason he's in demand at the American University.
Yes. It's funny, isn't it?
The next son actually started, my second son is David, who's in grade 11. Mm-hmm. He actually started at St. George's before Benjamin did.
Oh.
He went in grade 6. He's certainly benefited tremendously from the academics and the music program,
oh.
Less so from the sports. Mm-hmm. He's played soccer up until this year on a gold team.
Mm.
But that's not through the school. It's Dunbar soccer.
Oh, Dunbar. Oh, good. I ran into a fellow who's coaching Dunbar soccer. He was, I don't know if you know Brian Evans. Do you know him? He's just...
That leads me to another nice thing about the neighborhood. We've had a tremendous amount of help with rides and getting kids cared for, registered for things. People know what our situation is, mm-hmm. that there's one able-bodied parent that she's working at least full time. So we've not been expected to do the average amount of setting up soccer nets,
right.
Coaching baseball teams, and riding the kids to and from practices.
That's great. Let me see what I was going to ask you about.
David is the most musical.
He's the most musical. What does he play?
He plays piano and trumpet.
Oh, right.
He's playing mostly jazz piano now.
Did you see that jazz thing on Channel 9?
You know, I'm not a jazz buff.
You're not a jazz buff.
Number
I'm
one
not
and number two, we don't have cable.
Oh, that's right. Tell me about that. I want to know more. Tell me why you don't have cable and all that stuff, because it's very unusual.
It's not a Dunbar issue.
Oh, it is a social issue.
It is. Our kids actually do watch a moderate amount of television. We get videos and they do stuff on the computers, but I have a major aversion to violence in entertainment. I think it's insidious for a number of reasons. We used to have struggles with the two older boys over violent videos, and eventually we said you can watch them at your friends' houses. But you're not spending our money, and you're not viewing them in our house.
Mm-hmm.
That's changed now that they're teenagers, well along and on the verge of leaving home.
Yeah.
But I'm completely convinced that it's important for people not to patronize violent movies. It is not a case of monkey see, monkey do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that the threshold, the standards of violence have gotten progressively worse. You see an Errol Flynn Robin Hood in from the 30s, and it's laughable. People swing swords, people fall off horses, and then they get up and walk away. People that were not, they didn't laugh at that time. That was a reasonable view of a battle. Now you not only have to see people shot, you have to see brains splattered on the wall behind the victim. It gets progressively worse, and it gets progressively worse because there's money in it for Hollywood, or even independent filmmakers. The only reason there's money in it is because people are willing to pay for it. Some people would rather pay for it than pay for something tamer, as far as I'm concerned. If there aren't a lot of people like us who refuse to pay for it, it's a one-way street. It'll only get worse. The only alternative to the marketplace deciding is government deciding. Everybody's averse to that. The self-regulation, of course, is a joke. The industry hasn't the slightest intention of doing anything serious about keeping limits on the amount of violence. We don't mind. Basically, language in movies doesn't worry us. Kids can hear just about any language at school, and sometimes, unfortunately, even at home. The sex can be a problem, but generally speaking, I find that most problematic when it has violent overtones or is explicitly violent. It's really just the violence that offends me.
Right.
But we also don't care for the commercials.
Getting more and more persuasive, these things.
What happened with the cable is that in 1996, early in 96, we were watching so little television that I canceled cable early in the year. And then in about June, the boys started talking about watching the Olympics during the summer. And Susan and I looked at each other, and one of them figured out that we didn't have cable anymore. At that point, we went out and bought an aerial. But we offered them a choice at that point with our hearts in our mouths. We said, you can either have the internet on the computer, or you can have cable on the television. But we're not prepared to, and we're not in a position to pay for both. And the two older boys both said they'd rather have the internet. So, in a sense, we pretend it was a family decision.
Yeah. That's pretty good. So, how is it on the internet? Do they get into raunchy stuff there? Or?
You know, we thought about getting Babysitter or one of the software packages, which will. But in the end, we just decided not to. You can check the history and try to find out what they've been into. But we've talked about what we think is reasonable, what isn't, and why. Maybe we're just turning a blind eye to it, but the fact of the matter is they can go to friends' houses and do things which they could otherwise do at home. So we just didn't see an awful lot of point in standing over their shoulders at all times. And I would be disappointed to find out that they were viewing some types of things, but I don't think I'd be mortified. We trust them.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I think you really have a great philosophy that way. My daughter Pam is dealing with this with her two grandsons. sons who are getting more and more interested in seeing scary stuff. And she's about ready to cancel it now, just pull the plug on the television.
Oh, okay.
They have, they're 6 and 3. It's a problem. The problem there is the father thinks that it's fun to watch violent stuff. So this is, unless you agree, it's very difficult to.
Well, I've observed that it's very hard to instill any values which are not observed, right, or which are not honored by the parents. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean we've done a great job of it. What I've noticed is that we say there are certain things that are okay for us, but not for you, to the kids. Mm-hmm. Almost invariably, they don't accept that.
Yeah.
So I, it certainly doesn't surprise me that the smoking parent who says, but you don't start, finds that he has smoking kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. This is a wonderful room. Look at the birds coming.
It's very light. Well, there are more birds right next to you than there are.
Oh, right there. Oh, that's wonderful. Little finches. We've all lost them. They haven't been coming around to our place lately. So.
We didn't get to son number 3.
That's right, we have to.
Who is at Kitchener and will remain there.
Oh, yeah.
I think till, probably till grade 7.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm not sure. I think he would like to follow his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I must say that part of the reason that we've enjoyed St. George's is that I'm very skeptical, somewhat jaded about what the public schools do and don't do for kids.
Right.
We had a number of experiences, both with Kitchener and with other schools, which suggest to me that the public schools need a lot more energy, attention, vision than they're likely to get.
I see. Is it the curriculum or the teachers or the principal or
it's,
all those?
It's stimulation. It's making programs available for kids. Some of them require more resources, but some of them just require more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And interest. I found the Kitchener principal before this one, David Soy, to be great window dressing, always saying the right thing, and virtually every time he agreed to do something after talking to me, he dropped the ball. He was all window dressing and PR and did nothing. And we've had similar experiences with other parts of the public school system. The son who has been accepted to Harvard applied to the PW mini school. His grade 7 teacher said he was one of the best students she'd ever had. And PW mini school, applying its supposedly objective criteria, decide that he wasn't even worth interviewing.
That is very.
I subsequently had the principal of the school and an area superintendent come to visit me after I had written some rather pointed letters about it, and basically, the area superintendent did nothing but set up straw men. You know, we can't spend a lot more time selecting kids for the programs. We can't do this, we can't do that. It's all reasons why they can't change.
Right.
And absolutely no acknowledgement that there was anything wrong with the existing system.
No.
Which is, it's okay, but then they can't expect people to say it's the best of all possible systems.
Right.
And I think, given the experience that Benjamin's had at St. George's, it's pretty clear that he had a lot more potential than the public schools were capable of seeing.
Right.
His grade 7 teacher was appalled when she found out that PW had considered him not worth interviewing. She said they looked at his report cards and gave him a 4 out of 5. He had the equivalent of straight A's.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, they said, they had said, well, the last point depends on the teacher's comments. She said, I don't know what else I could have said.
Mm-hmm.
I said, everything that I thought was necessary to make it clear that he's a wonderful student.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't be bothered.
That is something else, yeah. Well, that's...
and ideally, we should just get more involved in trying to make a better system of it, but I'm not prepared to make a social experiment of my kids' lives. I'm going to put them in a situation where I think they can develop as best they're able.
Mm-hmm. I understand there's a very good couple of teachers at Kitchener that have written musicals and everything.
I don't know who's there now. We have not been that much involved. Mrs. Piper was wonderful. But, of course, when they cut the music, when the Vancouver School Board was faced with making cuts due to their budgets, they cut out all of the music and her position evaporated. David had been in a couple of school productions, and I thought that was wonderful, but that's gone. They had some wonderful teachers there, and they had some not so wonderful ones.
Hmm.
Mrs. Munson, who had 2 of my boys,
mm-hmm.
kindergarten teacher,
mm-hmm.
is just wonderful.
Oh, isn't that great? How do you spell her name?
It's Diana mm-hmm. Munson. It's I think it's Munson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think David was in her first class there, so that would have been 11 years ago,
mm-hmm.
10 years ago. She's very enthusiastic, very dynamic, very involved, and has young kids, so she connects very well. Both of my older boys had a grade 1 teacher who was very good, Mrs. Ferson. Who has since retired. And Benjamin's grade 7 teacher, Phyllis Coward,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately died last year.
Oh, really?
But she was very good.
Mm.
I volunteered at the school for a number of years.
Oh, great.
And did math enrichment there. But I very much enjoyed it, but the school was not very accommodating.
Huh.
They didn't integrate it well with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had to do it. The school is not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their fault, but they don't make many allowances for it.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Elizabeth is accessible. Which is a big advantage, and I'd wished we had an accessible school, but for example, I had to teach on the ground floor where there weren't classrooms. I taught from 2 to 3 daily, and One day I went at 2 o'clock, was waiting for the kids, and the teachers forgot to send them down. So I just sat there for 40 minutes and then left.
Yeah.
At the end of 2 years of doing it, the principal, David Tsui, told one of my boys to tell me that it, by way of thank you, I was invited to the tea in the library, which of course is not accessible.
Not accessible, yeah. Oh, dear.
Having said that, the kids were a delight, and one of the boys I had asked me, his group I had every Thursday afternoon, and the last day of school was to be a Thursday the week before. I said at the end of their session, well, it's been a pleasure having you. And Cam said, well, aren't we going to do it next week? He said, it's your last day of school. You're going to probably have class parties and things. He said, I'd rather do the math.
Oh, is that one?
Which was very nice.
Oh, yeah. That was very nice.
His parents told me that it was the thing he most enjoyed about the school, which of course made me feel good about volunteering.
Yeah.
Did not make me feel great about the school.
Yeah, right. How did you manage to volunteer that and get, because I think there are a lot of people around who could enrich the curriculum this way.
Well, my background is math, and I enjoyed doing it. I once thought I would be a math teacher, but frankly, a large part of the reason I did it is because my kids were understimulated in math. They're good at math, but more importantly, they like it, or they did at that time. One of them was told that he was not allowed to work ahead, even after he'd finished his required work. When I spoke to the principal about that, he said, oh, that's contrary to my rules. The boys, or the children, should be allowed to work ahead. I said, but if your teachers don't know that, what good is that? Well, hemming and hawing. But he never acknowledged that he's the one who dropped the ball. Nor did he say that he was going to get in touch with the teachers and say that kids who complete their required work should be allowed or even encouraged to work ahead or do something that's a little more challenging. Anyway, that's a large part of the reason I decided to do it. I let the school pick the kids. Mm-hmm. I set a number. I set it up to 6 kids. And at one point, they asked me if I would take 8 for a bit. And I tried it for a couple of classes. But the couple of kids they added to my 6 were not all that interested or motivated. And I found 6 a good number. I did enjoy it, particularly, and I still run into a couple of the kids. One of them was a girl whose father runs the Italian-Canadian deli.
Oh, really?
And I, every once in a while, see her on the street, and she says hello.
Oh, that's good. Where do they live?
I don't know where they live, but
in this district, though.
Oh yeah, it must be close by, because she graduated from Kitchener and then I believe went to Point Grey Mini School, as did Kelsey Dundon over the back fence, and a couple of others in the neighborhood, Spencer Moore. Benjamin's buddies.
Do you have I didn't get your last your son number 3's name.
Simon,
that's right.
He just turned 10. He's still doing all of the sports. The Dunbar baseball and soccer.
Oh, good.
Although soccer is a sport I like. Baseball is
pretty boring.
To my mind, a crashing bore.
Yeah, definitely.
But to the extent that they want to do it, we are happy to have them do it, and I'll show up at some of the games. Mm-hmm. But there are limits.
That's right.
I'll sit in the rain if somebody holds an umbrella over me, or if I have a rain tarp, to watch soccer, but not baseball.
Don't blame you at all.
Having said that, I think that it's generally agreed that soccer players are expected to brave the elements, but baseball players needn't suffer quite as much in order to display their love of the sport.
Yeah, you have those covered dugouts now. Everybody can sort of be under cover. It's kind of helpful. So, how about your neighborhood around here? Do you find it easy to get to know your neighbors? And where are there black parties and things like that?
Not really. My mobility is, of course, a problem. So, we don't wind up socializing a lot with people in the neighborhood. Most of our neighborhood connections have come through the kids, their school friends or whatever. We have we very much like one of our neighbors who keeps an eye on the house. We don't have an awful lot to say to each other, but they're very decent people, and when they've suspected that something was going wrong, one point when we were broken into, they watched the house.
Okay.
While the police were called, we were away at the time. The other neighbors, frankly, we don't get along with that at all.
Oh, dear.
They came over the day after we moved in and asked how much we paid for the house.
What?
Have been after us to keep the for a few years. They were after us to keep the yard more trim, to keep our bushes and trees away from the fence. They wanted us to replace a portion of the fence, which our handyman said is probably theirs anyway. But they sent their fence builder over to give us an estimate.
Yeah.
They also had two sons who went to St. George's, older than ours, but when they heard that our boys were going to St. George's, they said, well, of course, you would have to be able to get them in because you're a doctor and a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
People with your connections can always get
in. Yes. Obviously feeling inferior in some way.
Well, they had to get one of their sons in the back door. They were living in Richmond. And got him in as a boarder, then they moved to the neighborhood and were chagrined to find that they had to pay for
so much
boarding for something like 3 years.
Oh, my.
Anyway, we nod to each other.
Yeah. This is quite a historical house, I would think. Looking at it from the front, there's so few of them have the
covered porch.
Yeah, covered porch.
Yeah, we early on had somebody say, we described roughly where the house was with somebody whose kids were taking swimming lessons in Crofton. We were at Crofton Manor, it's Atlantis, where our kids were learning to swim. And he said, do you have the house with the red door? We love the house with the red door.
That's great.
Which is kind of flattering. In the meantime, it's run down a fair bit in the last 14 years, 13 years that we've been here. Mm-hmm. The people who lived here before us and who substantially updated the house built one of the nicer houses in the neighborhood. There's a house to 28th in Balaclava. Their name is Lewis. Blake and Diane Lewis. They lived in this house this experience of buying with a 6-month completion period. Oh. You know what that means?
Not really.
Okay. When they were trying to sell the house, they wanted to sign the documents, but with a period of 6 months to move for completion, meaning money transferred and possession transferred, 6 months down the line, and that was because they had bought a lot. Mm. They wanted to build themselves a house, and they didn't want to start the house until they'd sold it, or knew they'd sold it, but then anyway, what happened was that between fall of 87 and spring of 88, prices had gone squirrely. And by the time we moved into this house, we wouldn't have been able to afford it.
My goodness. That's incredible.
According to him, the value had appreciated by about 25% in 6 months. And that certainly would have put it out of our price range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Initially, we got to know the people across the back fence because the kids were similar ages. Mm-hmm. They used to spend more time in their yard, and we used to spend more time in our yard. In the meantime, they substantially renovated their house. They put up a big fence in the back, and kids now don't connect much.
Oh.
And so we used to talk to them probably once or twice a week. We now talk to them twice a year.
No kidding. That's so very interesting.
It's gone in the opposite direction.
The physical fence is just making all the difference.
It's partly that. Mm-hmm. They stopped using the garage in the back. They use the garage for storage.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of for parking their car.
Oh, yeah.
They used to have a carport instead of a garage. One of Simon's buddies and classmates is diagonally across the lane, and we see them in the lane quite regularly, but we don't do a lot of socializing with others. There was a time when the parents of 5 boys, the same classes, used to get together for a sort of potluck. When I say every year, it happened 2-3 years in a row. But it was awkward for me to get up into somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Group sort of fell apart. Some of the boys still get together, but and some of the parents see each other, but it's not a very cohesive unit.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's interesting. Now, does that beeping mean anything? It doesn't mean anything.
It means the outside door.
It's open.
We have an alarm. There's a bit of I don't know whether this is a Dunbar story or just a Vancouver story. We, for years, assumed that our house would never be robbed, never be broken into, not least because it's not one of the fancier houses on the block. There are much more impressive looking houses, and furthermore, we don't keep a lot of valuable stuff around, very little jewelry, no silver, no anyway.
Yeah.
And then when we were away, Susan and I were away in the States in the summer of, I think it was 98, the house was broken into, and the police said that they were reasonably certain it was a couple of teenagers, which they gathered partly from the crack fact that they ate a bunch of crackers. Partly from the fact that whoever ransacked the downstairs had different standards than the person who came through upstairs. The person who went through Benjamin's bedroom took all of his popular music CDs and left all the classical music CDs, where the person who came through upstairs took all the classical music. But we then got a security system. For the first time, what we realized was that although we don't look like a great house to rob, we were among the even if the pickings didn't look great, at least we were an easier target.
Yeah. You
know, this is all apropos of the beep beep. That's we've got it set to beep beep whenever anybody opens an outside door or window, which is a boon to us because the boys come and go downstairs, and they rarely check in with us. So that gives us a clue.
That's good.
When they come and go.
Right, that's pretty good. So what do you do if you had to dial 911, for instance?
I can't.
You can't do anything.
But I'm rarely alone here.
Mm-hmm.
I have people with me during the day almost all the time, except when people go out running errands. I can read or watch videos or listen to music. Anyway, that's to say, not being able to dial 911 is never
a problem. No, that's great.
I've never lost any sleep over.
That's good. And you've traveled a lot too.